Welcome to church today. We're glad to have you here. We're in week number two of a series called Detox. Anybody here ever had or tried some sort of detox? You hear about it a lot with people who have addictions and things of that nature. Now there's this, there's a lot of health experts, and it's been good for us for a long time to take time to detox our body when we don't have caffeine for a couple of days, right? And we get these headaches, and it's a horrible time. But after we make it past those headaches, the caffeine fighting us, we feel a lot better, right? We feel like we get this new energy that comes up. So there's several different ways to detox. And number one, let's just go over the definition of detox. Detox is the removal of a toxic substance from a living organism. Now, how many of you here this morning, you are a living organism? If you're not a living organism, please do not raise your hand, right? So we're all a living organism, yet there are three parts to our living organism. We can't just detox our body and expect the rest of ourselves to be okay. Number one, there is a spirit, and that's what pastors talked about last week. When we detox our spirit, that's when we come to God and give Him our heart, and our lives are changed forever, and our spirit is made holy in the presence of God through the blood of Jesus, His sacrificial death on the cross. And our spirit is ready for heaven.
Right.
But guess what? We have a soul. That's the second part. And that's our emotions and thinking. And that's what we're going to dig into today. And then the third part that we're going to look at next week is our body. Right? Because once we come to God, how many of you, the moment that you prayed a prayer, that you never had any more issues that you dealt with? Anybody here ever done that? No, we still live in a fallen world. We still have our emotions. We're still tempted. There's still things that we deal with that we must learn to detox ourselves from these issues. And so it's important that our soul is not infected. Because when our soul's infected, it infects our emotions and our thinking, which spills over into our spirit and also over into our body. So with that said, let's pray this morning that God would open our hearts and speak His word of life to us, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we honor You. We honor Your name, we honor Your presence and who You are. And God, we ask today that You speak life to us. Lord, that You enable us to look at Your word, God, and to learn from who You are. And to make the necessary changes needed, God, to be healthy in our spirit, in our body, in our soul. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Our main text for this series is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 all the way through chapter 7, verse 1. Let me begin reading. It says, do not be yoked. Now this term is basically to be bound to or to be intimately involved with. Not talking about a yolk and an egg. It's talking about a yoke that binds you together. So it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Because guess what? When we come to Jesus and we're saved, we don't leave the world. How many of you leave the world when you get saved? You're still here. You're still in the mess. All the same issues that we had before salvation are still happening around us. But there's a change in our spirit. So we don't leave the world, yet we need to be careful who we are the closest to.
Right.
Now we must understand this. The only way people are going to know that Jesus is real is by the way we love them. So we can't say, no, nobody around me who's not a Christian, nobody around me who's not holy in all their ways. No, we can't live that type of life. But for the people that are closest to us, for the people who advise us, for the people who we rely on and we share our hearts with, they must be devoted to God, because they will show you the love of God through the way that they talk to you. And we're going to get deeper into that, right? Because years ago we went through a whole series and we unpacked, show me your friends and I'll show you what? Your future. Let me see who you hang out with most of the time and I'll be able to tell you what you're going to look like in a couple of years. Because that's the way we are as people. So it goes on to say, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? They're kind of all the way on the different ends of the spectrum, right? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Light cannot have fellowship with darkness, because when light comes in, what happens? Darkness flees. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? And what's Belial? Belial is another name for the devil. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And often you think, no, I'm not going to bring an idol into the house of God. I would never do something like that, right? But as we learn from the scripture, this place we're in, this isn't necessarily the temple of God. Somebody put your hand on your chest. The person you're touching is the temple of God. So nothing that you would bring into the house of God should you bring into the temple of God, because God has chosen you to be holy, to be set apart for His glory. So it says, we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. So God's desire for mankind since creation, Genesis 1:1, has been what? To be close to us. His desire is to walk with us and to commune or fellowship with us. And that's His desire today. He says, I want to be close to them. And I'll be their God. And they'll be my people. And then He says, therefore come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Get rid of toxins that are polluting your spirit. Get rid of toxins that are polluting your soul. And then God says, I'll receive you and I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And after that, we get a promise. It says, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us. So since we have all these promises that God wants to be our God, that He wants to be close to us, and He wants to purify us. He wants to purify our spirit, purify our flesh and soul, purify our bodies. He says, purify ourselves from everything that does what? What's that word? Contaminates. Now, how many of you, if I had two cups of water sitting up here and one of them I have contaminated this water, how many of you would drink it? This water, this, you know, cup number two is contaminated. Here, I offer you a drink. Would you take it? No. But so often in this world, as followers of Christ, we are taking in things that we know are contaminants to ourselves, that we know are contaminants to our soul. We wouldn't do it for our body most of the time because we see that, right? But so often we, through compromise, we allow things to contaminate our soul. So the soul is battling toxins. And a theme verse that we could pull out from Scripture that helps us to realize, okay, you know, my soul must be battling something. Because how many of you know when your body's sick, it's pretty easy to see it, right? There's these things that happen. You'll get a fever. You may get some sort of rashes or something. People have all kind of things that come up that show you your body's got some toxins in it and you need to detox. So what's some things, that the ways that we feel, that help us to know that our soul needs to be detoxed? And here's a scripture. If you're feeling this way, like Psalms 42:5, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying? What does it say? Crying the blues. Anybody here ever felt like you're just down in the dumps? You feel like you're just crying the blues, nothing's going right, everything's going wrong. You feel like Eeyore. You never look to positive things. Everything's always negative. That's an indication that there's some toxins going on and you're not seeing things correctly. Because when your soul is messed up, it messes up everything. And this morning, I want to share with you hope. It is possible. It is possible to line up your soul with your spirit. As Pastor talked about last week, our spirit being perfected in Christ. It is possible to gain that alignment with your soul. And it'll change your life forever. So here's a couple of contaminants that we're going to unpack this morning. There's a lot of them. We don't have time to go through all of them. But there's a couple of big ones that I want to touch on this morning. And number one, it is unforgiveness. Now, I know none of you deal with unforgiveness, but that's something that I've battled with in my life. Because when you get hurt, what do? You put up walls. You think negative of different people, and it's hard for us to let things go. We become bitter. We become resentful. And not realizing it, you begin to hurt yourself. I've heard it said that having unforgiveness towards someone is as if you drink poison hoping the other person dies, right? We've all heard that before. But I heard another, I heard another illustration this past week. It's like setting yourself on fire, hoping that the other person dies of smoke inhalation. Causing yourself pain. Causing yourself a horrible day. Being tormented. Hoping that you pay this person back something. And when the deal is, the person's probably already moved on. They're not thinking about it. And we sit. And we worry. And we sit. And we harbor these things, this anger. And we say, well, I'll show them. And we're just mad. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So what is the Apostle Paul talking about here? He's saying that when we allow unforgiveness and bitterness to be planted in our heart, we better take care of it pretty quickly because it's easier to dig out. But the longer we allow it to stay there, the deeper that root goes, the harder. And more pain we're going to feel as we dig that out, but it must come out. It must come out. Sometimes we have trouble in our life, and we don't think it has anything to do with us. Have you ever talked to somebody and they always got problems going on and it's always somebody else's problem? Somebody else caused this. You know, I wouldn't be in this trouble, but, you know, this person over here, they've got me in this place. And they say, well, you don't know what happened. You don't know how I was treated. You don't know. That's just not fair. Has anybody ever heard the fair card being pulled? My kids always used to say, Dad, it's not fair. Until I continue to respond to them, life's not fair, honey. Where did you find it? Where did you find in anywhere through Christianity and Scripture where it says life's fair? If life was fair, you'd have to pay for your own sin, right? Do you want fair? I don't want to pay for my own sin. I want grace. The Scripture tells us that as we've been forgiven, we must what? Forgive. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. And so let it go. Let's just close our eyes real quick. If you're battling and harboring unforgiveness right now, just let it go. Say, God, you can talk. Say, God, I let it go. It's toxic. The second thing that we're going to look at this morning is comparison. Anybody ever compared you to someone else? You felt as if you weren't as good as that person. You needed this material. You needed to get to this place in life. If you could only get there, you know, you would be somebody. Always concerned about what other people think. Always concerned about your identity and the way that people see you. And something that's caused this to spark and to really take a big spike in our feelings and emotions is something called social media. Anybody ever been on that, right? Everybody's posting the greatest things, right? And we look at things and we have a little bit of envy. Anybody ever been envious of anyone? Well, I wish my life was like that. I wish my kids smiled every day at me like this person over here because their kids are always smiling at them. When I go home, my kids are frowning at me half the time, right? And we think, well, what's wrong with me? Often we allow this culture to warp what we think identity should be and how we should live life. When it's not reality. James 3, chapter 3, verse 14 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but what? It's earthly. Unspiritual. And then he takes it to another level. He says it's demonic. The Bible's pretty clear about this. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find basically a sick soul. You find disorder and every evil practice. Because people will do anything to feel like they've made this certain status. They begin to compromise their beliefs. They compromise their morality. And they do things and they shift things around and they become someone that they never believed they could ever become. All wanting just to attain some certain level that this culture is pushing on them. And so, last week, Pastor talked about doing things for 6 days to help build our spirit. And this week, I want to invite you. If social media's got a hold on you, I would invite you to join me. And I'm going to fast all social media for 6 days. I'm going to delete it off my phone. Because how many of you, you'll be just be sitting around and you're just looking and all of a sudden you have Facebook on your phone and you're looking at it. You're not being engaged and involved with the lives of the people that are right there with you, looking at what so-and-so thinks they need to have, or so-and-so, you know, the right picture, the right, you know, filter that they put on it, the smiling folks, and it makes you feel bad sometimes. So I'm going to take 6 days, and I'm going to detox my soul from constantly viewing things that aren't necessarily in my sphere of influence, and my friends. 7 months ago, we talked about finding our identity in Christ. And today, I just want to reaffirm that. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter what they write on social media about you. I've talked about this a few weeks ago. I get sick of it. It doesn't matter what you do, there's somebody who thinks you're wrong, and they're going to post it. And they're going to say, you know, they're not following God because they do this. And then one person says they're following God because they do this. And you will be on a merry-go-round. You'll be on a roller coaster emotionally. And your soul will be contaminated if you follow after that. Let's keep moving. The third thing that we're going to look at this morning is something called anger. Anybody here ever dealt with anger? Get out on the road today and begin to drive and you will see anger. People are angry. They wake up angry. They go to bed angry. They drive their cars angry. Have you ever wondered why we live in a day where if someone makes a small error in their driving, there's some sort of harsh retaliation? You know, you drive by and you see someone's appendages, you know, coming at you, and you think they're calling you number one, and they're really not, right? People are so quick to just anger, you know, they just blow up over stuff. James 4 says this: what causes fights and quarrels among you? So here's the answer. What's the cause of this? What's the cause of anger? What's the cause of all fights? Some of you would say, well, it's the person sitting right next to me. You know, they did this yesterday, and they keep doing the same thing over and over, and it causes this fight. Right? We talked about this a little earlier. Well, if that person wouldn't have cut me off, I wouldn't be angry. Or if they wouldn't have taken from me what was due me, I wouldn't be angry today. And the Bible says it this way. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Let's go to the next slide. Don't they come from what? From your? What does that mean? Do you mean that it's got something to do with me? Do you mean that I just don't get angry because other people act crazy? It has something to do with my soul? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Your desire. You desire, but you do not have. So you do what? Kill. Now, he's not talking about physically kill. He's talking about with your words. You cut people with your words because you're angry. Some of us are pretty good at cutting people with our words, right? We know how to change the circumstance by the way that we tell people what we think, right? You covet, but you cannot get what you want, even when you go through those motions. Have you ever been in an argument and you told somebody what you really thought and you let them have it and you got your way? Guess what? You're still mad. Doesn't bring any happiness to you. You're mad because it happened. You covet, but you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Here's the issue. Let's go to the next slide. You do not have because you do not ask God. Simple. Base of the matter is you want to change a situation, but God wants to change us. We're so concerned with the situation, trying to change all these things. God's not necessarily that concerned with all these things. He cares, but He's more concerned with who you become and how you integrate this into your life. And the last thing that I want to look at today is worry. Worry is basically assuming responsibility God never intended for us to have. Worry is us trying to change our past. Worry is us trying to change what may happen in the future before we're ever even there. And I want to be honest with you this morning. We all worry, right? We can't help from it. It's a natural part of our emotions. So what do we do with it? How do we handle worry? Well, I believe how we handle it determines if we become contaminated in the soul or not. Do we allow it to take hold of us and to develop into something called fear? Keep us up at night. Anybody ever laid in the bed at night worried about something? It's going to happen the next day? And you worry yourself almost to death and you get up the next day and it never even happens? Somebody calls you in for a meeting and says, I want to meet with you. Your boss calls you in or a friend calls you. And you're thinking, oh, what have I done? Oh, I'm going to get fired. Oh, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? And you go in the next day and they give you a raise. Now, what about that whole night before you've wasted and you've contaminated your soul,
right,
and you've caused yourself so much pain? Matthew 6:27 says this, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Can you? No. So how do we detox our soul? How do we detox ourselves from these things that we've listed this morning? What's some ways that we can do that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. Keep your heart, your soul, with all diligence, for out of it springs the what? Issues of life. So the issues of our life are coming from our soul, our heart. So if your soul is toxic, if you have unforgiveness, if you have worry, if you have these things deep in your heart, it will contaminate the whole. So what's some things that we can do to detox our soul? Number one, write these down. It's right relationships. Relationships are so vital and very important. Because God's solution to us as mankind is to be in relationship with Him, right? And it's also to have good relationship with other people. Somebody that you can call when you're having a bad day and feel like you're going to do something crazy. Now don't look at me like you've never felt like you're going to do something crazy. When you're having those thoughts and you're mad and you're angry and you got all these things going on, there's people that you need to have somebody to call and say, hey, I feel this way, blah, 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 blah. And they listen to you and say, okay, hold on a second, you know, fighter, you know, calm down. Take a deep breath, relax. And they talk to you and they pray with you. And then what happens? Your soul begins to be a little healthier, right? Because somebody gave you some godly advice. Right? Now, if we don't have people who are godly that we can talk to and we just go talk to anybody who doesn't make God their Lord, they might just tell you, go ahead and do it. Well, you know, they deserve that. You need to go let them have it. I think you need to straighten them out. Well, Scripture tells us that we need somebody who we can share our thoughts, our concerns, and our issues with. James chapter 5 says, when we do that, we'll be healed. We confess our faults to God for salvation, but we confess our faults to one another to bring healing. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise grows what? But a companion of who? A fool suffers harm. We must watch who we are closely joined to, because show me your friends and I will show you your future, right? We got to get the toxins out. So right relationship, the second thing we need is a God-defined identity. We can't have this identity crisis always going on and always trying to become something. Our identity changing day to day, trying to meet some standard in this culture. God made you, and He alone can help you find your true identity. So don't listen to your feelings. Your feelings are going to change every day. Your feelings are going to change every moment. God made you, and He had a perfect plan in His mind when He formed you in your mother's womb. And so the only way that you can feel peace, the only way that you can be fulfilled and know that you're walking in your calling, walking out your plan, is to allow God to define who you are. Galatians 6:4 says this: make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't just go sink yourself into everything, because you're going to be spread too thin. Don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself with others. That's some pretty good advice, right? Don't allow your head to go so large that you don't fit through the door, right? And don't compare yourself with someone else. I'll never forget when I first started speaking or ministering. I've tried every type of different style. I watch people and I see how people preach, and I try to replicate that. And you watch what they do and people go crazy, and you come in here and try to do it and people just look at you like, what are you doing? You know what I've realized? I've got to be the best Tim that I can be. I don't have to try to be somebody else. I have to be comfortable in the skin that I'm in. And so often we go through life just wanting to be like somebody else, wanting to do like somebody else. There's nothing wrong with having people that we look to for advice. Nothing wrong with having mentors. But at the end of the day, we have to be comfortable in our skin, walking out the plan of God. And then the last thing, we must live a crucified life. And you say, well, crucified life, that's a Bible term, crucified life. You go telling people, you got to be crucified, you got to be crucified, and they're going to think you're trying to kill them, right? It doesn't mean kill yourself, right? You start every day. It's when you start every day finding the things that are not like God and putting those things to death. Why every day? Well, let's look to the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And what? What's the yellow? I no longer live. But guess what? Who's writing that? Who did a lot of things after he wrote this? Paul didn't go kill himself on a cross. But he's speaking about the things that he has in his life that are contrary to Christ. And he realized that he has to kill those things. He's saying, I'll daily crucify the things that are inside of me that are contrary to Christ, because Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, what does that look like? How do we walk that out? Well, basically in the morning, a great way to do that is in prayer say, God, I give you today my attitude. Because God, some days I can have a bad attitude. It's okay to be honest, right? God, today I give you my anger. God, today I give you my bitterness. God, today I give you the lust that has consumed me in the past. I give it to you today fresh, God. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about today, because I need to make it today. God, I give you the jealousy that I've dealt with in my life. And God, I ask that you replace it with love, with joy, with peace, with patience. I'm going to ask the band to come right now as we wrap this up this morning. There is a way to purify our soul. There's a way to be healthy in your spirit and your soul and in your body. And to do that, we must realize, as we go to this last point, the world was never meant to make you happy. You were not created to find everything you need in this world. The issue therein lies when I try to gain happiness from the things of this world, I'm going to always be coming up short. I may attain what I want to attain, but when I get there, you know what? It just doesn't do anything for me anymore. So I always seek something else. Oh, I need this. I need to have this car. There's nothing wrong with driving certain cars. But if that's your reason, you're not going to find happiness in it. Oh, if I could just have this job, I would be fulfilled. If I could just work here, if I could just go there, if I just didn't have to have a job, if I would win the lottery, Lord, bless me. It's not going to make you happy. Because you were created to be made whole with Him. Right? With the maker of the heavens and the earth, with the one who created it and the one who sustains the universe. So we must learn to have a healthy, eternal perspective. Somebody say those words with me. Say eternal perspective. Eternity is something that we'll all face. Mortality is something that we deal with a lot. There's people in this place today under the sound of my voice. You've been touched by death. Or you may have been at a place where you've reached all these standards that you had set yourself as far as financially, as far as what type of job, as far as a home, a lake home, different homes. There's nothing wrong with those, but you're not going to be happy in those. Because guess what? Stuff's going to break there too. Cars are going to break down. And oftentimes when we feel as if we've reached this place, this plateau, and we're trying to wrap our minds around the happiness that we don't feel, even when we reach those things, sometimes we get calls from the doctor, from some tests that we've had, and things don't look too good. Are we going to find happiness in our vehicle then? Are we going to find happiness in our cash flow when our health is in crisis? No. It's vanity. Recently, I began doing some part-time work with a local hospice. I've been around death a lot. I've had my grandparents over the last several years. They've all passed on. They're going to be with the Lord. People that I've been very close to. Their life has ended, and they've now received their reward. And when we face times like that, how do we look at it? When you get the call that somebody's passed away, there's this despair that floods your soul. The pain that comes immediately. Yet as a believer, when we know where their faith was placed and we know where they're at, and we think of them no longer in pain anymore. We think of them no longer hurting, that they're actually dancing. Yeah, they have rhythm now, right? Because they're in heaven, right? They're dancing on streets of gold, looking at Christ. And it's as if when we have that eternal perspective in that moment of crisis, there is a detox that happens. Oh, we're contaminated by the pain, but there is this detox that happens. It takes that away. And our view changes from this world to what's to come, the eternal. And so this morning, let's go to the next slide. This is the hope that we have. It says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on what? Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Let's go to the next one. This is where we started, right? You remember? This is how we know we need a soul cleansing. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you carrying the blues? And here's the answer. Fix your eyes on God. And when we fix our eyes on God, what does the psalmist say? Soon we'll be praising again. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we honor you. And Lord, we ask you today, oh, that you would help us, God, to commit to make some changes over the next 6 days to remove toxins from our soul. And Lord, if we will only do a few things, God, but you're not asking us for a lot. We will be amazed at how healthy, how strong we'll be next week. And Father, today there's people in this place, Lord, under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they, if they stood before God today, they don't know for sure that they would be welcomed into heaven. Maybe there's some here who say, well, I used to follow God, but now I got hurt and I don't do the things that I know that I should do. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Lord, I'm tired of trying to do it myself. Save me. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name.